You know, it's kind of crazy how we all know the NFL is king, but it's moments like last night that just reiterates it. Some people were like down on this NFL draft. Not enough star power, not enough storylines. Does anyone really care about this draft? You know, a program director who I know very well, and he once hired me in Philadelphia, he was talking about the Golden State Warriors and how much buzz there is on his radio station. Very good radio station, 95.7 The Game, Matt Nahagan. Does a great job for that station. And he goes, we're not even talking about the draft. The draft, right, it feels like a zero this year, and it's my favorite event because of how great the Warriors are, right? And I know the Warriors didn't play last night, but the NBA postseason was on in my house last night. In my apartment, it was on. I have multiple TVs, and I had the playoffs on, and then I had the draft on the other. I was glued to the draft. Even when the Knicks almost got screwed last night, and then they're up 2-1, the Grizzlies had an enormous lead. Then they got Ja Morant got hurt, and then they blew that game, and now Oklahoma City's up 3-0 in that series. And the Clippers just blew out the Nuggets 117-83. The NFL draft was by far and away more entertaining than the NBA postseason last night. And I love Stanley Cup playoff hockey. I do. I love playoff hockey just in general. And you had the Panthers take a 2-0 lead last night. The Maple Leafs win in overtime, and they're up 3-0 in that series over the Senators. The Wild take care of business against the Golden Knights. Now they're on the board. The Wild, they're up 2-1 in that series. And then you get the Blues, who take care of the Jets 7-2, and Winnipeg's up 2-1. You know, we had playoff hockey, we had playoff basketball last night. The draft was a story. And it just shows you the power of the NFL draft. The NFL draft's one of my favorite events of the year on the sports calendar. Like, yes, March Madness is spectacular. Love going to the Super Bowl, no doubt about that. I'm just thinking of like other weeks throughout the year. The Stanley Cup final is always great. But really, the NFL draft, because, yes, I know you could be crazy like me and love Friday and love Saturday, but the draft to me is now one round, Thursday night, all the chaos go ahead, and then a little bit of a carryover into some of the top players if there's a crazy fall like Shador that didn't end up going in the first round. Now we're going to see where he's going to go tonight. But that was great TV, whether it was NFL Network, ESPN, ABC, whatever you're watching. I thought it was phenomenal last night. I really did. And I know people are crushing Mel Kiper because how much he loves Shador Sanders. I was agreeing with Mel Kiper a lot. I didn't like the Giants trading back up. And I don't like the Giants trading back up to get Jackson Dart. I think they should have traded back up to get Shador Sanders. But then also with Abdul Carter going at 3, you had at the 2 and the 5 spot, that big trade go down with Travis Hunter and Mason Graham and all the picks that were involved. Cam Ward started off the draft at 1. Tatora McMillan going 8. Kelvin Banks going 9. Ibuka going to the Buccaneers, and they already have 2 wide receivers. Genty going 6 to the Raiders. Warren falling to 14. Loveland going to 10. There were so many storylines last night from the NFL draft. And tonight, it's the same big storyline that was the biggest storyline last night. Where the heck is Shador Sanders going to go? Is there a storyline in this draft? Let me ask you. We'll go around the room this way, and then we'll do onside, offside, and I'll get Jay Nashville, who's been holding patiently, 888-710-4ISN. Is, outside of Shador, Stu, what was the biggest storyline for you last night?
I mean, I think it was the trade, right? Mm-hmm. I think it had to be the trade up, and then I'll just stick with that one as mine, the trade between the Jaguars and the Browns.
All right, Samter, so if Shador is off the board and the trade is off the board, when you look back at it, because, I would say, would you say Shador is one and the trade is 2, Stu?
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Definitely Shador won because the coverage on that was just insane the whole night.
And also, I thought he was the player they were most intrigued about going into the draft. So, yeah, Shador won, and then it was the whole Browns trade with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the 2-5. Samter, after that, then what was the biggest story, in your opinion?
Man. It's connected to Shador, but I guess the Giants trading up to get Dart.
Okay. That's a move.
I guess that's there.
Okay.
You know, maybe Tyler Warren falling, but that...
Well, don't list here, because we just went from Stu to you and then me. That's how we're going to do this here.
Are we drafting?
No, we're not drafting. It's just an impromptu conversation of just the biggest storylines.
Okay.
I would then think that it was the Tyler Warren, Colston Loveland situation. I thought there was a little ooh and ah on Tatora McMillan. And you know what? I'll give credit to the Carolina Panthers. I will. We haven't heard a peep out of David Tepper in the last year. And I think that's a good thing for the Carolina Panthers. They try to restore that organization. Alrighty. Anyway, without further ado, I'm not talking about Freddie Adu. We got some questions. We got some answers. We do this every Monday and Friday. Let's go to a little onside. Offside. Stu, hit it.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
All right, what do we got cooking today, guys?
All right, so many, including Samter, thought that the Jets would take Tyler Warren.
Yeah, salty
with
Samter.
The seventh pick, yeah. No, he's not too happy about that. But instead, they went with the offensive lineman Membu out of Missouri. Now, the Bears, they seemed primed to take the former Penn State star, but surprised us when they took who many thought was the second-rated tight end, and that is Michigan's Colston Loveland. Now, some have compared Loveland to Ben Johnson's former tight end in Detroit, Sam Laporta. But onside, offsides, Loveland is actually a better fit for Ben Johnson's offense than Tyler Warren.
Can I be serious here for a second and tell you what my biggest concern is about the whole Tyler Warren, Colston Loveland situation? And it's making me reevaluate my opinion. Hickey last night, after the Colts got Tyler Warren, went to a different octave when it comes to his voice just being so high-pitched. Like he is a prepubescent child, if I'm being honest. And he's screaming. And he's like, the Bears always mess it up. They always F it up. That's what they do. Thank you for taking Colston Loveland. Tyler Warren, you know, Penn State to Indianapolis. It's the new Georgia to Philadelphia. Let's go. When Hickey does that let's noise into any video, it just drives me like bonkers. I can't stand it. So now Tyler Warren has to work against the Hickey Hex. If he becomes a Hall of Famer, it's one of the great careers that I've ever seen. But I will happen to agree with Hickey here that I think Warren is the better player. Warren is so many good at so many different things. I still don't know how fully developed Colston Loveland is. And last year he didn't have a quarterback. And before that, he was very inconsistent at Michigan. So I can understand people saying, oh, the fit is a little bit better, but I would still take the rather overall better player. And to me, that's the fit that I would rather have. So Loveland is actually a better fit for Ben Johnson's offense than Warren. If Ben Johnson's such an offense genius, you take the best player there, so I go offside.
Offside!
Now the Falcons got some major defensive upgrades last night. First, they drafted Jaylen Walker, who is projected to go into top 10 at 15. And then they traded back into the first round and landed Tennessee star edge rusher James Pierce. Onside, offsides, the Falcons were the biggest winner in round one.
Well, they gave up a future first round pick. So I'm not saying that I like what they did. Now, Pierce has a lot of concerns, but they talk about his upside. I think it's a very safe pick getting Jaylen Walker. I was surprised that he fell to 15. I'm going to go offside here because I look at what the Browns did. Even if they don't take Shador tonight, they're going to get basically three players in the first 36 picks, and they get the Jaguars' first-round pick next year. So just for starters, I think that the Falcons making this move with the Rams and giving up their future first-round pick is a little bit of a concern, even though they got a good player. And I believe that the Browns maybe, with the picks that they got back, and they still got Mason Graham, who's better than both of these guys, and they got a future first-round pick. I just like that move a little bit more, just in terms of the trades and what you got and what you gave up and all that. So the Falcons are the biggest winner in round one. I don't think they had a bad draft. I think it's good what they did, and I like the aggressiveness, but I'm going offside.
Offside!
Now, Giants fans were buzzing when news broke that Big Blue was trading back up into the first round to grab a quarterback. However, despite their last-minute workout with Shador and reports about how much they loved him, Daboll and Shane went with Ole Miss's Jackson Dart instead. Onsides, offsides, the Giants will be looking for a new starting quarterback before Dart's rookie deal is up.
So I did put in a request for Joe Shane to join us next week. There's been some communication with the Giants, so we're efforting to get Joe Shane on. I'm off Thursday, Friday next week, but I'm here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So we're trying to get a day squared away in the next, 3 days next week. What I'll say about this is I'm just curious why they like Dart over Shador Sanders and what they didn't like about Shador Sanders. But with that being said, this is a first-round quarterback, so it's 4 years and then a fifth-year option. So do I think Jackson Dart is going to have 4 or 5 years with the Giants, when also, like, I like Joe Shane as a person, I like Brian Daboll as a person, both of them are on the hot seat, and a new regime comes in, are they going to love Jackson Dart? When I don't think Jackson Dart should have been a first-round pick, so I'm going to go offside here. When you ask me, or onside, excuse me, you ask me, the Giants will be looking for a new starting quarterback before Dart's rookie deal is up. I'm going onsides.
All right. Travis Hunter won both the Biletnikoff for best receiver and Bednarik for best defensive player, and has the third best odds for offensive rookie of the year and fifth best odds for defensive rookie of the year. Well, today at his Jaguars introductory press conference, Hunter was asked an interesting question.
I'll give you a hypothetical real quick because of your competitiveness. It's 4th and 7. You break the huddle, it's 1-on-1, and Travis Hunter, the wide receiver, sees Travis Hunter, the corner.
Oh, what a question.
And the ball's coming your way. Which one of y'all comes down with it?
Travis Hunter.
great answer. Better question. How has that never come up before?
It's a fair point.
We're idiots. We're the Giants drafting Jackson Dart.
Onside to all sides. If Travis Hunter, the receiver, went up against Travis Hunter, the corner version would come down with the ball.
What a great question. Stu, what's your answer?
I would say the corner version. I think the corner version is slightly better.
Samter, what's your answer?
I think that the corner version is better, but I think the wide receiver version comes down with the ball just because of how offenses are right now.
I think it's easier for the wide receiver to come down with the ball on a 50-50 ball than the corner. So I would go the wide receiver would come down with the ball. That's the way that I would answer it. So if Travis Hunter, the receiver, went up against Travis Hunter, the corner, what a mouthful that is, the corner version would come down with the ball, I would go offside.
Offside.
All right, so Shador Sanders watched his stock drop pick after pick and is now the top quarterback available in the second round.
Legendary.
The Browns have the 1st and 4th picks of the round.
Legendary.
And could land their franchise quarterback with one of those picks. Whoever they pick, however, won't have a fifth-year option.
Legendary.
Now that he is out of the first round. Onsides, offsides, if the Browns plan to draft a
Legendary.
Quarterback early in the second round, they should have just traded up to the first round to secure the fifth-year option.
I understand the question, but I'm going to go offside here. They got the future assets, and they could still get the player at 33 if they wanted him. So if it's in the conversation that Shador ends up being that good if they get him, which I don't think they will draft him tonight, then you could always just get the contract done. So I'm fine with not giving up the future assets for a player that it seems as if you didn't really want to take. Or even if it was a different quarterback, then I'm not moving into the first round for Jalen Milroe. I'm not moving into the first round for Jackson Dart if that was the case, or Tyler Shuck. So for me, it would only be Shador that I potentially do it for. And they could still get him tonight. So if the Browns plan to draft a QB early in the second round, they should have just traded up to the first round to secure that fifth-year option. I would go offside.
Offside!
None of the mock drafts that we saw or talked about had the Panthers going receiver with the 8th pick. But even with Tyler Warren still on the board, that's exactly what Carolina did by drafting Arizona's Teteroa, don't call me Tet, McMillan. Now the pick.
Don't tell his mother if you call him Tet McMillan. Do we have that audio, just wondering?
I believe we do.
I'll give you about 30 seconds here to stall and try to find it.
We're good.
Now, I haven't heard this yet. I've just been going off what Samter and Stu kind of told me that this was funny during one of the breaks. Go ahead.
You started your presser by telling us that you'd rather go by Nalo or T-Mac. A lot of other people call you Ted. Why specifically do you not want to be referred to as Ted?
My mom can be the one to tell you.
because I need him to Ted all, so... So it's either Teteroa, T-Mac, or I call him Cavello, which is his Hawaiian name.
What was the last part?
Cavello.
Cavello? Should we just start calling him Cavello McMillan? That's easier than Teteroa.
T-Mac.
But I think T-Mac, I think Tom McCarthy, of course, the voice of the Phillies. No, I think of Tracy McGrady. What was the last part? I just said it was easier to say. I can't even remember. Carvello?
Carvello, I believe.
Carvello. Now I'm hungry for some Carvello ice cream, if I'm being honest. Is there a question here? Sorry, there I cut
is.
You off.
There is. No, you're good. The pick does make sense for the team trying to surround Bryce Young with some more talent after no Carolina receiver had more than 650 yards last season. On Sides, All Sides, you actually like the Panthers' pick of McMillan.
I don't hate it. I do like it. I thought that they could have drafted Tyler Warren, but do I like it? Yeah, I like it. Because it gives Bryce Young potentially number one wide receiver, and last year they also got Xavier Leggett, so I like doubling down on that to try to help out your young quarterback. So I will go on sides there.
All right, so the Cowboys are going to cowboy. They reached for guard Tyler Booker with the 12th pick. Despite him having a second round grade and being considered the second best guard in the draft. Now, the Cowboys' biggest need was receiver and running back, but they passed up on Matthew Golden and Amarian Hampton, who would have obviously filled those needs.
Both of those picks would have been early at 12, yeah. If we're being fair. If we're going to say one pick was early, those two picks would have been early, too.
Onside, all sides, the Cowboys made a mistake by taking a guard 12th overall.
I'm not going to say it's a mistake because there's this great misnomer out there because of how great the Cowboys' offensive line used to be that it's still great. It hasn't been great for the last few years. So they needed to beef up that offensive line. I'm good with that. With the 12th overall selection. Yeah, it's a little bit early, but I'm fine with that. I don't think it's a mistake. So I'm actually going to defend the Cowboys. Oh, my God. What world are we living in? Offside.
Offside.
All righty. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Let's go to Jay in Nashville. Wants to chime on in on Shedeur Sanders. Jay, go ahead.
Well, I originally wanted to call in for on Shedeur, but while I was on hold, I'm glad I was on hold because this just hit my phone by some writer named Wes Wisely, and I read it word for word. It says the Giants offered the first-round pick this year, their first-round pick next year, and additional pick to the Titans, trying to move up to the number one overall pick to select Cam Ward, but the Titans declined. If that is true, that means the Titans traded one. They fired one bad GM and hired another bad GM. Why would you decline that?
So Wes Wisely sounds like a fake name, but with that being said, I will say the report is actually right because Schefter had it on the show last night where it was a first round swap this year. So Tennessee would go back to 3, the Giants move up to 1, then a future one. I think there was a second involved and future picks as well. So you wanted Tennessee to trade the number one pick?
Yes, everybody at my job is actually from Nashville. They're all saying the same thing. I've been screaming the same thing for weeks. Trade that first-round pick. What good is a quarterback? You can't even protect him. And then this guy is not even a surefire pick, man. It's almost like Anthony Richards or somebody else. He's got a good arm.
Hold on. He's not Anthony Richardson. Here's why. Because he has a lot of good tape. Anthony Richardson never had a lot of consistent good tape. What Cam Ward was able to do, zero-star recruit, incarnate word, then goes to Washington State. I remember talking to him when they were undefeated, like 4-5-0, something like that. And he told me then back in 2023 he could be the best player in the country. And then he goes to Miami this past year and finished in the top 5 of the Heisman Trophy voting and was a finalist. I think there's a lot of things there where the guy could be a really good quarterback. Now, there's still questions if he could be great. But I can't crush Tennessee for taking the quarterback because who knows what the draft class, even though people think it's going to be good next year, who knows what it's going to look like?
Yeah, but Zach, you don't live in Nashville. You don't know how everybody in Nashville has been going through
that. Well, that's fine.
You can't crush them. Wait. You can't crush them for that. But we've seen this over and over again. And then just like you said, you don't know if he's going to be great. Mm-hmm. You usually take the quarterback the first round because you're like, you know what, that dude's going to be great. You can't say that about this guy.
Yeah, but look how many times we say a quarterback's going to be great and they end up being a bust.
I know, but look, first of all, you could have had this year's first round, next year's first round, the second. So, you know what? You could have used those picks, wheel and dealt them picks to fill up your offensive line, which sucks. It does. Everybody knows that. And you got so many other holes.
You're telling me that a lot of people in your office today in Nashville, they're annoyed that once this Schefter report came out.
Everybody in Nashville is annoyed. I live here. I'm not making this up.
Everyone,
everybody's annoyed.
Wow, I really thought this was not a controversial draft pick, and I usually trust your opinion, Jay, so I'm not sitting here, I'm going to poo-poo your opinion. I won't do that.
No. You're looking at stuff on TV. I'm on the streets. People are annoyed on this.
So the people on the streets, like, they're not a fan of Cam Ward is what you're telling me. Jay on the streets, they don't like Cam Ward.
No, it's not that they don't like Cam Ward. Everybody recognizes that we have other, like, we got other, like, things to, like, to take care of.
So they were fine. So pretty much what you're saying is they were fine with Cam Ward and the pick, but then when it comes out that the Giants were willing to swap ones this year and the exact Schefter report was a next year's first and then other picks, we don't know what those other picks were, they would rather take the future picks and then also get a player at three, which it would have been Cam Ward, and you would have got Abdul Carter probably, and then a future first and punting the quarterback. Okay, that's not a crazy take to me. I have no problem with them taking Cam Ward and rejecting the Giants' offer, but it's not a crazy take.
It's not a crazy take, but, I mean, like I said, this is before I even saw this article. Everybody was like, dude, I wish they had just went ahead and trade that pick for some more picks because we got other issues. Now, as far as Shadur and everything, him not going in the first round is not a bad thing because, like, those two quarterbacks that just win the first round, hey, good luck to you, buddy, especially Jackson Dart, because we know New York, if you look even remotely – Like D. Jones, you know what I mean, that they just got rid of.
Or Zach Wilson.
That New York crowd is going to be heckling in front of stands like no other. And could you imagine if Shadur went in there, and New York has problems too that they need to fill. If Shadur would have went in there and he looked like Daniel Jones just the least bit, they'd have been, let me say it in my Zach Gale's voice, you're an embarrassment. You're horrible. You're not as good as your father. You'll never be half the man your father was. I mean, they'll be talking like that. You're a disaster. They'd have been saying that. Shadur dodged the bullet by not going to New York. And I think, I really think he's, you know, either Steelers or somebody. Really, my sum of all fears is Jerry Jones picking him up in the second round, bro. That's my sum of all fears.
That would be something. That would definitely be something. Great phone call. Great to hear your voice, Jay, in Nashville, and I appreciate the impersonation. Wes Wisely. Now, the report's actually legit because it was from Schefter. But Wes Wisely, he has an interesting avatar, and then it says contributor for Broadway, Tennessee, which is Broadway Sports Media, NFL draft enthusiast, loyal husband, father, and Titans fan. So maybe it does exist. Who knows? But the report was legit. Because we heard that during the draft coverage. Let me take one more here. Oh, Anthony of Myrtle Beach. He's a Titans fan. Let's get his opinion on Cam Ward. Ant, what's happening?
What's happening, my brother?
Doing great. So you like Cam Ward, or you like the guys in Nashville right now that Jay was talking to where he doesn't like them?
Listen, you're talking to Jay in Nashville from Little Caesars. His office is four people. Don't believe the hype, all right?
Oh, he said he's talking to people in the streets, if we're being honest. It's people in the streets.
People coming out of coming out of Little Caesars. We got that. Listen, we got Cam Ward. That's all that matters.
Can I ask you a question? Is that a diss to Jay, or is that where Jay actually works? I'm a little confused.
It's a diss to Jay because he's delusional right now. I don't know what he's doing. He's not representing us. We took the better choice. Look what we had. Mayo, banana dipping, Will Levis. It was what, 5-16 in two seasons? Trash. You're not going to build an O-line with that disgrace Levis. Yes, we have problems. We can fix them, but we need a quarterback. We ain't going nowhere with Levis on his back running for his life.
That's amazing.
He fumbles a handoff. Get him out of there. What am I paying you for? Get rid of him.
Yeah, and then when he has the football and he's about to get tackled, he throws it up just in the air for the fun of it.
Yeah, please, Lord, help me now. No, he does not represent all of us. I tell you now, Jay and Little Caesars, go in the back, make some ranch sauce, just pipe down. We got Cam Ward. We're going to fill them holes in, tighten up, have faith.
There we go, Anthony of Myrtle Beach. Man, that's like caller on caller crime right there. And I'm just the middle guy right there. I feel in a weird situation. Usually I'm the one stirring the pot. Anthony comes in throwing haymakers at Jay in Nashville. Oh, my goodness gracious. Two great phone calls, if I may say so myself. We'll take a break. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network where our callers want to kill one another. Alrighty, let's get to some NFL insiders on the latest with Shedeur Sanders. We were talking about the Adam Schefter stuff, the Ian Rappaport stuff. Now we have a Jonathan Jones cut as well. But let's listen up to all three and play those for you. As you know, Shedeur Sanders fell out of the first round last night. The Cleveland Browns start off the draft in a little bit with the 33rd overall pick. Adam Schefter, what is he hearing about where Shedeur Sanders could land?
I think the Giants obviously preferred Jackson Dart. I think the Browns preferred Jackson Dart. I think the Saints absolutely preferred Jackson Dart. Tyler Shuck is going to figure in there tonight, and I won't be surprised if Tyler Shuck goes ahead of Shedeur Sanders tonight. I think there are not a lot of teams that love the idea of drafting Shedeur, and I think now we're at the point where unless he goes in the third round, number 83, to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who had a discussion about him on the board at number 21, I think we may get a team that we never connected to him. And I don't know what team that is, but I'll give you some examples right now. And again, I'm just hypothesizing. The Seattle Seahawks, the Arizona Cardinals, and hold on to your head, the Dallas Cowboys.
So let's do this. I hear that, and I'm going to add this up together, and I'm going to come up with a little bit of a conclusion. The Giants are out. They drafted Jackson Dart, right? He then said the Browns and Saints preferred Jackson Dart over Shedeur Sanders. Then he says, hey, Tyler Shuck will probably go before Shedeur Sanders. Wouldn't be surprised if that happens. I'm going to guess right now the Browns pass on a quarterback. I think they're going to take non-quarterbacks at 33 and 36. Then the Saints will take Tyler Shuck. That's going to be my guess. I can't believe I'm effing saying this. Tyler Shuck's going to go in front of Shedeur Sanders. What the pluck? Seriously. I can't believe that. Those words just came out of my mouth on a national radio show. Inconceivable. So going off of what Schefter said, Arizona, Seattle, or the Cowboys? So Seattle just gave a deal to Sam Darnold. I don't think it's crazy, though, if they did take him. Arizona, you got Kyler Murray, but you don't love Kyler Murray. And the Cowboys, maybe that's just Jerry being Jerry or Jerry doing a favor to Dion. Out of those three, I'm going to say Arizona's the most likeliest. I would love Seattle, though. But I'm going to say Arizona. Could you imagine he falls to 83? Stu, yes or no? When the Steelers are on the clock at 83, do you think Shedeur Sanders will be there?
Will he be there?
At 83.
I think he'll be gone before then.
Samter? 83. Will Shedeur be there?
No.
Okay.
He better not be.
Yeah.
Wait, you said he won't be there, right?
Yes. Okay. Won't be there, yes.
I'm going to say the Raiders or the Cardinals. I think it'll either be the Raiders or the Cardinals that end up with Shedeur Sanders. All righty, let's hear more. We go from Shefty, Adam Schefter, to Ian Rappaport.
And if you look at the potential landing spots, still, there aren't that many. But I would say the closest and most realistic landing spot for Shedeur Sanders is the Las Vegas Raiders early in the second round. They have Geno Smith as their starter. Just signed a new contract, so he's locked in for a couple years. So that is one spot. If not there, it might actually even be third round to the Steelers, guys.
So I just said the Raiders or the Cardinals. I will now go with the Raiders after hearing Rappaport. Because of the Brady connection, too. Tom Brady loves this guy. John Spytek, who's good, young, up and coming, but he has the job in Las Vegas because of Tom Brady. All righty, let's hear one more. We will now go to Jonathan Jones, what he's hearing on Shedeur Sanders.
I've been calling around with teams, texting a lot last night, well past midnight, calling teams all morning into the afternoon. I don't know that Shedeur Sanders is going to be picked in the first 10 picks of tonight's second round. I don't know. It's really hard for me to find a spot right now. Like, I don't think he's falling to the third round. I'm not at all talking about that. But in talking with folks across the league today, I don't know the natural spot for Shador.
So I just said the Raiders or the Cardinals. I think the Browns are passing on him at 33 and 36. Jonathan said he doesn't think he's going in the first 10. So Browns, though, Texans, though, Titans, though. That would be then no Raiders. That would be no Patriots, obviously. Bears, obviously not. And not the Saints. And not the Jets. So then, after you get past the Jets, Cowboys at 44, Rams at 46, Cardinals at 47. Let's see. Probably it there for the first second round and the third round. Raiders at 68. If I'm the Raiders, I would take him at 37. I would. Stu, this may be Raiders at 68. That's where this may be.
It's crazy.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And the Cardinals come back up again at 78 before the Steelers are at 83. My, oh, my. Should Shador, we used to debate, should Shador be the second pick in the draft? And now we're talking about him going in the third round. Man. And I think this is a big win for insiders. Because yesterday there was a lot of skepticism, including yours truly, with some of these insiders and some of the information, how late it came out. Well, right, Diana Rossini ended up being right. Peter Schrager ended up being right. So now when you get the big guns with Schefter and Rappaport saying things, you know, no offense to Jonathan Jones, but when you get Schefter and Rappaport saying those things, something to keep an eye on. That's the story. It's been the story of the draft, Shador Sanders. We'll come on back. We'll tell you winners and losers of the first round. It is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network on this Football Friday. Update time first. Here's Zach.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Well, in the end, the top of the first round played out as expected, even if the players drafted didn't always go to the team they were anticipated to go to. The drop of Shador Sanders became a reality as the Colorado quarterback has yet to hear his name called entering tonight's round two. He is still on the board. He handled the snub in stride and said it'll only make him stronger.
Oh, wait, Samter, you were being serious? During the break, Samter goes, oh, Trump put out a statement about Shador Sanders. I thought you were kidding. I'm just reading this right now. So Donald Trump tweeted out, what is wrong with NFL owners? Are they stupid? Deion Sanders is a great college football player and was even greater in the NFL. He's also a very good coach, streetwise and smart. Therefore, Shador, his quarterback son, has phenomenal genes and is all set for greatness. He should be picked immediately by a team that wants to win. Good luck, Shador, and say hello to your wonderful father. I want to be president, let me tell you. Just sit there and fire off tweets about Shador Sanders. That's awesome. That's hysterical. Samter told me during the break, he goes, oh yeah, Trump tweeted about Shador Sanders. I'm like, really? And I go, I guess not that surprising. But then I'm coming back from break and then boom, it pops right up on my timeline. Oh, that's something. Alrighty, it's time to answer or ask the pros question of the... Oh, first off, 888-710-4ISN. President Donald J. Trump in D.C. Oh, sorry, he hung up. He wanted to chime in on Shador Sanders. It's time to answer the Ask the Pros question of the day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Joseph in Cleveland says, Zach, who are the winners and losers of the first round of the NFL draft? You can submit a question by tweeting at INSportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts where your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You know, let me tell you something. The biggest losers are the NFL owners for passing up on Shador with his wonderful father. It's true. All righty, let's get to some winners and losers here. I will start off. My winners. I'll give you one winner right out of the gate. The Indianapolis Colts. Now, you don't have a quarterback. I like Mark Ross's line. Tyler Warren may be the best quarterback on the Colts roster because Anthony Richardson stinks. Daniel Jones stinks. But you look at the rest of that offensive roster, you got Jonathan Taylor, you got Michael Pittman Jr., Pierce is solid, and now you add Tyler Warren, who I think is the fifth best player in the draft, and you get him all the way at 14. It's a good job by the Indianapolis Colts. I'll put them as a winner. Samter, who's your first winner?
I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons for getting both Jalen Walker and James Pierce. Jalen Walker, who's a top 10 talent, they got at 15. And James Pierce, who was probably a top 15 talent, slid down a little bit because of character concerns. He got there at 26. They traded up to get him. Those are two impact defensive players that you get in the first round for a Falcons team that spent so much time and money and draft capital on the offense over the past couple years, focusing on their defense. This could be the piece that the Falcons need.
And also the Falcons are in win-now mode. You have Michael Penix Jr., rookie deal. You know, you have Kirk Cousins still on that contract, but you got Bijan Robinson with the running back, and that's on borrowed time, Drake London, and your division is not obviously impossible. You got to start moving that team in the right direction. So they're aggressive. Okay.
All right. My first winner are the Packers. I actually really like their pick of Matthew Golden. I just thought.
Go, Pack, go. When they announced that pick and then they did the go, Pack, go for about 5 minutes, that was pretty hype. It was pretty good.
Yeah, but I think they've needed another receiver for a while, and they didn't really address that in free agency or via trade. So I think getting Golden where they did, a guy who, you know, I think could be nearly as good as McMillan, at least in that same ballpark. He has that blazing speed. I think it's a good move for them.
Here's the thing. I hope he's a number one wide receiver, because the Packers right now have like a lot of one and a halves and twos. I hope this is an actual one for Jordan Love, not another one and a half or a two. My next winner, Baltimore Ravens, Malachi Starks. This dude is unbelievable. He is sensational. He's phenomenal. Now, I sound like Trump, if I'm being honest. He's got good genes, I hear. But he comes from that Georgia football program. I think we focus more on Mykel Williams and Jalen Walker. Malachi Starks was asked to do a lot at Georgia, and it's the Ravens. And now they pair him up with Kyle Hamilton, death taxes, and the Ravens landing a good defensive player in the draft. So give me the Ravens as a winner. Samter.
I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. You brought up the Ravens about, you know, always getting a good player fall to them. The Eagles just keep stockpiling like superb, talented, monster SEC guys. First, it was all the Georgia guys, N'Kobe Dean and Nolan Smith and Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. And then for Jahad Campbell to fall down to them at 31. Again, another top 15 ranked player at 31 was awesome.
Honestly, let me just start calling the SEC Eagles if we're being right on that. All righty, Stu, who's your last winner?
All right, my last winner, the Chargers. I think drafting Omarion Hampton.
You're taking a running back and you're doing the Raiders?
Oh, yeah, but I think the value they got in getting a running back there, I'm not going to take a team in the top five or six.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm trying to think more like later in the draft here. But I think drafting Hampton, obviously they signed Najee Harris. I think those two guys, they already drafted Joel last year. It gives Justin Herbert another kind of weapon out of backfield. I really like the pick for them.
Okay, so let's reverse this now and go to losers. Samter shaking his head. You have the Chargers as a loser?
Now I have Stu as the loser. Yeah, the Chargers
That's
are a loser.
That's not nice. It's a Friday. Be nice to Stu.
Of course I have the Chargers as a loser. They have so many other issues. First of all, they have no other like number two wide receiver outside of Ladd McConkey. Quentin Johnson maybe could get there one day. Mike Williams is back there, but you know he's always hurt. You needed more receiver help. They just signed Najee Harris, who has 4,000-yard rushing seasons. You don't need to take a running back in the first round, as good as Omarion Hampton could be. Khalil Mack has one more year left. He's going to be gone. Derwin James has been hurt a lot. You need defensive help to really help with that side of the ball. They were good on the defensive side, but they're getting older. You need to add some youth there. I didn't understand that pick at all. I know Harbaugh loves to run the ball.
Well, that's why.
That made no sense.
Yeah, that's why. You had Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards at Michigan. Now you have Omarion Hampton, who I think is phenomenal, and also Najee Harris. I think Ladd McConkey ultimately is a number two wide receiver, even though he was a number one last year. They'll find that wide receiver at some point, and I have no problem getting Omarion Hampton to catch the ball in the backfield as well. So I'm actually a Team Stu on that one. I'm not incensed by that. All righty, Stu, I guess we'll circle back to you. Who's your biggest loser?
My biggest loser are the Bears. I think that you had Tyler Warren, you know, sitting there right in your lap at 10, and the fact that they drafted Colson Loveland over him, who might be a very good player, but I just don't think he's going to be as good as Warren.
I'm going to use Samter's argument for the Chargers, sort of for the Saints here. They're my first loser. They've invested so much on the offensive line and they had so many different needs, I thought they could have bypassed the offensive lineman, Kelvin Banks Jr., who's supposed to be really good, and they could have got one of those defensive players, whether it was a Mykael Williams or whether it was a Kenneth Grant or a Jalen Walker. So I didn't love the offensive lineman pick there for the Saints, so they're my first loser. Which way do we... Did you already give two loser picks, though?
I gave just one.
Oh, you only gave one. All right, Samter, go ahead.
I'm going to go with the non-Power 2 conferences in college. Obviously, Power 2 being the Big Ten and the SEC.
Wait, not the American Athletic Conference?
No, they're just on the outside looking in. They're right there. 26 of the 32 first-round picks last night were from the Big Ten or the SEC. Six picks from every other conference. We had Boise State. We had North Dakota State. We had Miami. That's ridiculous that their two conferences took up 90% of the picks. So big losers for all those other conferences.
Stu?
I will say the Cowboys drafting a guard, Tyler Booker at 12. I think it was just too early to draft a guard.
And my biggest loser of the night is Shador Sanders. We went from potentially being the second overall pick, even though everyone talked about him the entire night, to falling out of the first round. And now the biggest story is the draft is about to get underway as well. Where the heck is he going to go in the second round? My prediction right now is the Raiders, but I can't say that confidently. And if it's not the Raiders, then I would go to the Cardinals. If it's not the Cardinals, then who the bleep knows? Maybe he'll fall all the way to 83 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But right now I'm going to say that it's going to be the Las Vegas Raiders. And still, you'd be happy with that if you get Ashton Jeanty and Shador Sanders.
That's a pretty good draft.
Yeah, that's good. We'll do winners and losers on Monday for the whole draft. If the Raiders have Ashton Jeanty and Shador Sanders, that's a very good Zach Gelb draft. That's going to be a winner for me. And then the Raiders will probably still have six wins and be picking in the top 10 once again next year. All right, big thanks to Mark Ross. Big thanks to Samter. Big thanks to Stu. Big thanks to each and every one of you. Good on the phone lines today as well at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Appreciate however you listen to us. One of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 378, the free Odyssey app, or streaming live on YouTube. We'll talk Monday, everybody, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.